entitle my message this morning, How Are You Feeling? Not F-E-E-L-I-N-G, but F-I-L-L-I-N-G. How are we feeling with the Holy Spirit this morning? Have we come overflowing with joy, overflowing with the Spirit of God, or have we come half empty? Have we come depleted? You know, the heart of God is always for us to be overflowing, amen? I'll say this, that when the anointing of the Lord comes upon a person, His anointing is a copious anointing. And what that means is that it's a generous anointing. When God fills us, He never fills us to just enough. He always fills us to more than enough. Enough is just for us. More than enough is an overflow that will touch others around us. And that's the heart of God. We're called to be filled till overflow. We're called to be filled till more than enough. And you know, yesterday was such a precious service here, right? The Saturday service. There was such a hunger in the atmosphere. After this sermon, I gave an altar call. I dismissed the congregation. I said, if you're going to go, you go. You know, but for those of you who need a touch from the Lord, who need more, you know, I want to encourage you, come to the altars. You know, there was so much weeping upon this very altars last night. You know, there was a guy that came. He just fell prostrated on his face and he wailed before the Lord. There was so much weeping and wailing before the Lord. I tell you, God is raising the hunger level in His people. God is raising the water level in this house. When I prayed for the services and I prayed for the church last evening, the Lord said, pray for the water level to increase in Cornerstone Orchard. To an ankle deep, to a knee deep, to waist deep, to shoulder deep, until a deluge of the floods of the Holy Spirit takes over in this place. And I'm believing God for a time, like in the days of Solomon, when he dedicated the temple of Solomon, the glory of God, the kabod of God, the weightiness of the presence of God was so heavy upon the people, even the priests could no longer come up to preach a word. They all fell prostrated down on their faces under the weightiness of the presence of God. I don't know about you, but my heart yearns and desires not for a good polished service with good lights and good sound and good songs that we sing. It's not just another service that you have come for this morning. We come with our hearts with reverent awe before the Lord, positioning ourselves to say, God, fill us till overflow. How are you filling? Have we come empty this morning? You know, in a service like this, when the people of God, if we can come overflowing with the presence of God, I tell you, there will be a combustion of river in this place. Pre-believers who walk in the doors of this church, visitors and guests, when they walk into this church, I tell you what, they're going to jump right into the rivers. They're going to touch something in the Spirit of God. And we're contending for this. This is not just my responsibility as your pastor. This is our responsibility as a people, as a community, as a congregation. Can we contend for more? Amen? Because we got to understand this principle that the measurement is not in heaven. The measurement is here on earth. When you use language to describe heaven, we use words like it's eternity, right? It's infinite. How do you even measure eternity? You can't say eternity is for 1,000 years. We can't say eternity is for 1,000,000 years. You can't put measurement on eternity. And so the principle is this. Heaven is limitless. Heaven is immeasurable. You can't measure heaven. So the measurement is here on earth. If we would measure on earth, heaven would pour. And heaven will not stop pouring until it's overflowing here. The measurement is here on earth. God loves to fill. It is His passion to fill. You know, let me say that God is not into slight improvements. Amen. If our prayers, God, come and slightly touch our lives, come and slightly improve our lives, I say renounce that prayer in Jesus' name. He's not into slightly improving our lives. He's come to completely change us, devastate us in a good way from the inside out, upside down. Amen. In fact, when people look at our lives, they should go, I don't even recognize you anymore. I don't even recognize the person you were anymore. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, take a good look at me today because after today, I'm not going to look the same anymore. And that's how it should be. Every time we come into the presence, we touch His presence, He fills us with His Spirit. Something on the inside of us changes. We don't look the same anymore. When the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the earth, He was there for a purpose. And His purpose wasn't to slightly improve the earth. His purpose was to bring about an entire creation. And if you measure creation now to what it was before God even called light, you can't even measure that. There's no comparison in that, much less to even say that it was made by men. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to hover over us today and come in such a way that there is no more comparison of who you were before and who you are now. Amen. God wants to come in such an incredible way in our lives. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. It happens again right here in the upper room. It says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled. God is a God who loves to fill. The measurement is here on earth and heaven fills. Heaven pours. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Everybody say all. All. With the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what was the measurement in the upper room? Come on, not a trick question. How many people were there? Hello? 120 people in the upper room, right? The measurement on earth was 120 people. And because there was a measurement, 120 people, heaven started to pour. And upon each and every one of them, they were all filled, set a tongue of fire. The late evangelist Reinhard Bonnke said it this way: your flame has your name. Your flame has your name. If there are 400 of us in this place today, listen, God wants to fill all 400 of us. Somebody say amen. He doesn't want to bypass anyone, but the measurement is on us. Earth measures and heaven pours. You know, I remember reading of this hero of faith that I grew up devouring his materials and his sermons and listening. But this man, his name is called Smith Wigglesworth. He's an Englishman, an uneducated plumber from Bradford. Anyways, you know, every time he comes up on a pulpit, he wants to preach. He embarrasses himself. He would get emotional. He would cry, and he couldn't speak well. He wasn't eloquent. And so Polly, his wife, was the preacher in the church. Anyway, Smith Wigglesworth heard of a revival that was happening in Sunderland. And so he packs his bag. He says, I'm going to Sunderland to catch something of God. He goes for a week. He attends every night the crusade meeting, the revival meetings. But then he realizes, gosh, actually, it's not as fiery as the meetings that we have in Bradford. And so he was a little bit disappointed. He packed his bags by the end of the week, and he was going to make his way back home. On the way back home, he decided, I'm going to stop by the vicarage house. He stops by the vicarage house and goes in and says, well, I've come to catch something in the spirit, but I haven't caught anything. But before I go home, will you pray for me one more time? Would you pray for me one more time? And I like that, because it's almost like God waits for that desperation sometimes. It's like God waits for that appetite in His people. He waits for that hunger. He waits for that opportunity where we will show Him that we're not going anywhere, God, until you move, until you do something. And so right there and then, the vicarage said, come in. Smith Wigglesworth kneels at the parlor. She puts her hand on his head. And in his words, when she did that, the fire of God came from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, burning with holy fire. He spoke in tongues and he caught a vision of Jesus Christ on the cross, dying for his sins. From that moment on, Smith Wigglesworth was never the same again. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about God not wanting to slightly improve your lives, but He's come to completely change and empower us with His Holy Spirit. And so if you've read the life of Smith Wigglesworth, he heads back to Bradford. That night he tells Polly, his wife, I'm preaching tonight. Polly says, you can't preach. You embarrass yourself. Don't do that. He says, I'm preaching tonight. And that night he got on the pulpit. He preached with such power. He preached with such Holy Spirit's unction. Polly's wife, who was sitting right there in the front row, she stands up, tears in her eyes, and she says, is that my Smith? Is that my Smith? Wow. We need that kind of unction of the Holy Ghost today upon our lives. I am done with polished services. I'm done with preaching another good sermon. I want the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit to see the dead raised, to see the blind see, to see the lepers cleansed, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the glory of God come in such a weighty manner in our services that you cannot mistake His presence. Smith Wigglesworth in his ministry, it was recorded 13 resurrection from the dead, one of whom was his wife, Polly. When he raised her up from the dead, she came back to life and she said, Smith, what are you doing? He said, I'm raising you back to life. She said, but I don't want to be with you. I want to be with Jesus. Let me go. And Smith Wigglesworth let her go. I mean, imagine that kind of authority. Wow. We need that power back in the house of God. We need that kind of unction, that kind of desperation back in the house of God. You know, another time he took a corpse. He laid his body against a wall and he said, live, live. And the corpse came back to life. I mean, that's powerful. And that's the same Holy Spirit that's hovering over us this morning. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep in Genesis, that hovered over the 120 in the upper room, is the same Holy Spirit that's hovering over this place this morning. And he's looking for the hungry ones. He's looking for the desperate ones who are not here for religion or to play church. But he's looking for those who will say, God, I'm not leaving this place the same I came in. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. From here, I want to bring out some points. Elisha understood this whole principle of earth measuring and heaven pouring out. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is now coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. And so now we know that this widow's husband was a student in Elisha's school of the prophets. And now he's passed on. And looks like the school fees, the loan was the two sons. And so the creditor is now coming after the two sons. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Well, she said, your maidservant has nothing. And then her conscience pricks her. Oh, but a jar of oil. This is language in crisis. How many of you know if you're in crisis, it's always about you? I have nothing. I can't care less about the next transformation that God wants to do, the next revival, the next move of the Holy Spirit. How about me? This is crisis language right here. Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured the oil out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now, these are three points here. Number one, we've got to understand that the measurement is dependent on us. Elisha told the widow, we read earlier on in verse 3, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and don't just gather a few. Because why? Elisha understood that if we would measure, heaven would pour. The measurement is dependent on us. So of what capacity have we come into the house of God this morning? Have we come to say, God, I'm all yours, fully surrendered. Come fill me. Come possess me, Holy Spirit. Or have we come with our jars filled with some stuff in our lives that we're not ready to surrender, we're not ready to rid of, and God can only fill us to that measurement. We measure heaven pours. The measurement is dependent on us. Principle number two is this: shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. That's what Elisha said to the widow. In verse 4, when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour the oil into all these vessels and set aside the full ones. Listen, there's a principle here. Oil pours behind closed doors. Oil pours behind closed doors. Look, not all of us can travel the nations. Not all of us can stand behind a pulpit to preach. Not all of us can be playing the keyboard behind those keys. But I tell you what, this is level ground for everyone. We can all shut our doors. We can all close our doors. Close the door on your negativity. Close your doors on your circumstance. Close your door on your skepticism and your doubt. For some of us, you're going to listen to this. Close the door. Shut the door of your over-familiarity with God. Remember Uzzah? When they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the glory of God, back to Jerusalem, and they stumbled and the ark looked like it was going to fall off the cart. What did Uzzah do? He stretched out his hand, touched the ark, and he was struck dead. I remember reading this account and I thought, why the severe consequence? I mean, if I were Uzzah, wouldn't it be human reflex? Wasn't Uzzah doing the right thing to want to, you know, make sure that the ark doesn't fall off? And then the Lord said to me, it wasn't so much Uzzah's external action as it was his irreverence and over-familiarity internally. Because let me remind us that Uzzah was one of the sons of Abinadab. And the Ark of the Covenant had stayed in the house of Abinadab for a period of time. And so Uzzah and his sons, they all grew up around the Ark. They knew what it means to host the presence of God. They were familiar with the ark. To Uzzah, it was just a box to be handled. And that's why the people said to Uzzah and the sons and his brothers, why don't you lead the procession? Because surely you know how to handle this thing. Surely you are familiar with hosting his presence. And yes, Uzzah was familiar, but he had become too familiar. For Uzzah, it was just a box to be handled. Like for some of us, it is just a Sunday service to attend. It is just a prayer meeting to go for. It is just another song that we sing. It is just the reading of scriptures. And I wonder which part, which aspect of our faith journey, of our faith life, that we have become over familiar with the Lord. Because you know what over-familiarity does? It breeds an irreverence in our hearts towards his presence. It breeds an irreverence in our hearts towards the things of God. We become callous. We become flippant with God. We forget that we're actually interacting with God. Shut the door of your over-familiarity with God, church, and let the oil pour. Let the oil pour. Get to know God again. Get to know the Holy Spirit again. The precious Holy Spirit. That's what oil represents. The oil of the Spirit of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. It's a whole chunk of scripture right there. But the Bible says that when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When you pray, shut the doors, for your Father who sees you in secret, he will reward you in public. When you fast, don't pull a long face, right? Wash your face and look fresh. Close the door, because oil pours behind closed doors. And I've learned this principle in my life. Those who know what it means to be great weepers in private, these are the ones whom God can entrust with the harvest, because they will be great reapers in the harvest. Shut the doors. How's your devotional life? How's your prayer life with the Lord? How many times have you shut the door the last 1 week? Let's not even look at last year. Let's not even look at the last 1 month. How about just the last 1 week? How's our life with the Lord behind closed doors? Because that's where oil pours. That's where we get filled. That's where we receive. We drink of him. This is not a patrol station. Can I say Sunday services are not your patrol station? You don't just come pumping some petrol and hope that it lasts for the whole week and then you're depleted by the end of the week. You come back again next Sunday, you get pumped again, you know, and then you get depleted over the end of the week. How pathetic! What a sad life to live. That's not how God's designed for us to live. We're called to be freshly, fully, completely baptized in the Spirit of God every day. Every day. And it's not a one-time experience. Come on. But the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time encounter you had 10 years ago. And then you try to live off that experience. It's a daily, daily walk with the Lord. It's a daily, God, baptize me afresh today. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Amen. John came to baptize us in water, but one who has come is greater than John the Baptist, and he has come to baptize us, his people, in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Come on. And we can receive this every day. How are you feeling? Number three is this, as I bring this to a landing, God fills without limit. Remember, heaven is limitless. And God fills without limit. Look at verses 5 and 6. She went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, brought the vessels to her. She poured it out. She poured the oil out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were all full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not another vessel. So the oil stopped. The oil ceased. Now it's starting to dawn on this widow that we measure and God fills. And the bigger our measurement, the more vessels there are, the more God fills. He fills without measure. He fills without limit. Remember the account in Luke chapter 5? When Peter is fishing all day, all night, he's caught no fish. Here comes Jesus. Jesus says with his words, let down your nets, Peter. And he says, God, Lord, I have been here the whole day. I've fished the whole day. There is no fish here. Now, Jesus, by trade, is a carpenter. Peter is a professional fisherman. His father fished. His grandfather fished. His great-grandfather fished. I'm sure they own a whole fishing company enterprise. He's like, Lord, there's no fish. I know what I'm talking about. I'm experienced. I'm professional in fishing. You're a carpenter. But he says, but at your word, I'll let down my net. Do you see something there? Jesus said, let down your nets, plural. Peter, maybe skeptical. I know what I'm talking about, Lord. I'm a professional. Well, at your word, I'll let down my net. Singular. He puts down his net. You watch Finding Nemo, the movie. Fish goes to school. And in school, they tell them, don't swim into the nets. Keep on swimming, keep on swimming, keep on swimming away from the nets. But here in Luke chapter 5, when Peter let down his net, a whole massive, innumerable number of fishes came into the net such that his net was breaking. And as they poured the fish into the boat, the boat was sinking. I mean, you think about that logically. These weren't sampans, mind you. These weren't small boats. These were fishing boats. Which means these were huge boats. And now these boats that were built to keep fishes in is sinking because of fish. If I get too deep, just tell me. His boat is sinking. He calls for the rest of the crew. Come help, come help. Two other boats came and now they're catching fish. They're catching fish and even both their boats are starting to sink. What was the measurement on earth? Three fishing boats. And heaven hadn't stopped pouring until three fishing boats were sinking. How do you love that? I mean, when I read accounts like that, I'm overjoyed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm just like, God, you are a God who fills till overflowing. And we, your people, don't even know that. We don't even receive that because we don't know it. How about the multiplication of five loaves and two fishes? 5,000 men, all filled. In fact, all their wives, not even counted in the 5,000, all filled, children, all filled. And yet at the end of it, everybody's full. 12 baskets of leftovers. Why? For what? And Singaporeans will say, wow, very sayang ah. Waste food. Why 12 baskets of leftovers? Everybody is full already. I remembered someone once said, oh, because it was for the disciples, 12 baskets. Well, if that's your understanding, slap yourselves. Because I think the disciples had more than anybody else. They were probably feeding the people and then eating, taking a bite. And then, here you go, and then taking a bite. They probably had more than anybody else. Well, I'll tell you what, because the measurement was there, 12 baskets. 12 baskets. And heaven hadn't stopped pouring until all 12 baskets were full. How about the story of Jesus filling the 6 jars at the wedding? John chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. There were set there 6 water pots of stone. According to the manner of purification of the Jews, what was the measurement? 6 water pots. Containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called for the bridegroom and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. You see, what's the measurement here? 6 jars. And Jesus filled them. He filled them so abundantly, so overflowing, that the Bible says that the guests at the wedding were all well drunk. They drank so well, more than enough, in abundance. You see, the story of this wedding could have been the wedding where the wine ran out. And that could have been an embarrassing news. But today we know this wedding as the wedding where the wine overflowed. And in the same way, God wants to come and change our stories. Come on, if you believe this, say amen. God wants to come and change our stories. David knew this principle. He wrote in Psalm 23, verse 5, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. What good is a running over cup? Have you thought about that? I mean, if you're thirsty and you want to drink water, you don't go to your dispenser and then until it's overflowing and then you drink from its overflow. What good is a running over cup? But yet, because the measurement was there, a cup. Heaven hadn't stopped pouring until it was overflowing. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Last one, how about the heavens? Can I get the worship team? How about the heavens? I mean, the heavens, we said it's infinite. Scientists can't even count the number of stars in heaven. And yet God, in Psalm 147 and verse 4, he doesn't just count the number of stars. He calls them all by name. Wow. The majesty of God. The extravagance of God. He doesn't just know how many stars there are in the heavens. Everyone he knows by name. Why? What's the point? Because the measurement is there and God loves to fill. Every time there is a measurement, he fills. He fills without measure. When the widow asked the sons to go look for more empty vessels, they came running back to her saying that there was none. Now, my question that I want to put to all of us this morning is this. Was there really no more vessels? What do you think? Was there really no more vessels? Well, I think there were vessels in the neighbor's house. I think there were more vessels in people's houses. Just that they weren't empty. They were probably filled with seeds, grains, rice, corn, flowers. Maybe they used their vessels to store water. They weren't empty. See, if something is full, you cannot get anything else inside of it. And so rather than praying God will rid me of things, why don't we start praying, God, fill me? Because many of us, our prayer language is this, God, get rid of this in my life. God, get rid of that in my life. Get rid of this, get rid of that. And it's as if God is saying to us, just ask me to fill you. Because when you are full of me, there is no room for anything else but me. In verse 7, she came and told Elisha, the man of God. And so after that, everything is full. Elisha said to her, now go sell the oil, pay your debt. You and your sons live on the rest. Can I say this, that whatever God fills us with always has value. You cannot sell if there's no worth. The widow could go sell the oil because there was value in the oil. He said, go pay your debt and the remaining amount, live off that, you and your sons. Everything God fills with has value. You see, they would have emptied the water in other vessels, the seeds, the grains, the flowers, if they knew that it was oil, valuable, precious oil that was being poured out into those vessels. And in the same way, church, if we value the Holy Spirit, because oil represents the Holy Spirit. If we value the Holy Spirit, if we value God the way we should, we would empty ourselves, we would empty our vessels, we would empty our lives of everything else to be filled, to be full of that which is of greater value. How are you feeling this morning? What greater life can anyone live than a life full of God, than a life full of the Holy Spirit? I close with my last verse, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, for the earth will be filled. We sang the song earlier on. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's the measurement, the earth. And because the measurement is there, God's going to fill the earth with His glory, with the knowledge of His glory. Jesus descended upon earth. He ascended back to heaven for this purpose, that He might fill all things. Everybody say, fill all things. That Christ might fill all things. And listen, He doesn't just want to fill you. He doesn't just want to fill the temple. He wants to fill the banking spaces. He wants to fill the medical space. He wants to fill businesses. He wants to fill your homes, your families, men, women, children. He fills all things. But the measurement is dependent on us. It's on earth. He wants His presence, His glory, His will, His might, His wisdom to fill all things. In other words, people of God, we need to first be filled with the knowledge of His glory, because we cannot fill the earth with something we don't know. And I speak over this house, no more shallowness in our walk with God. No more shallowness in our spiritual depth. In another scripture in the Bible, it says this, that my people, God says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And we say today, God, fill us with the knowledge of the glory of God, that the earth might be filled. Stand with me as we come to a close. We measure, God pours. He loves to fill. He will fill. It's a copious oil of anointing that He pours out from heaven. And as I saw a vision last night of heavens pouring out oil, heavens was pouring out oil upon those who are desirous, upon those who are hungry, I believe God wants to do the same thing over this congregation today. I'm going to get the worship team to lead us in a chorus, and as they do that, the rest of us, I'm going to encourage you, just close your eyes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you walked in this morning depleted, half tank, maybe three quarter filled, would you begin to say, God, I receive. God, fill me today. Baptize me anew. Baptize me afresh in the Holy Spirit. Fill us, God. Fill us, God. Like Smith Wigglesworth would say, one more time, would you pray for me? I hadn't received what I came here for in Sunderland, but one more time, can you pray for me? Is there a desperation in our hearts this morning? Will we say, God, one more time? One more time, will you touch me? One more time, will you fill me? One more time, will you move again in this house? One more time, will you pour out revival in Singapore? One more time. One more time. We don't want to have the form, but no power. I'm so done with Christianity as religion. Religion is dead, my friends. It's got no power to do anything for you. I'm so done with polished sermons, eloquence of speech. But we lack the demonstration of the power of God in our lives. When was the last time we heard a testimony of the dead being resurrected? You know, the last time I heard about this testimony was when I was speaking in a conference in Indonesia. As I was speaking, a dead person got resurrected in the hospital as we were all praying for that person. And I say, God, do it in Singapore. I say, God, do it in our church. Do it amongst the people of God, the assembly of the saints here in this nation, in this land. Singapore, we have yet to see and touch the raw power of God. And is looking for those who will say, God, fill us. Fill us. Fill us. We're done being clever. We're done with intellectual Christianity, cerebral doctrines. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Ghost, your precious, valuable Holy Ghost, the oil of your Spirit. Quick, can the worship team just lead us in a chorus? Come on, the rest of us, we contend for this morning. Fill us, God. Fill us, God.
We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out.
Just another Sunday service. It's just another song. It's just another word. I'm just really sensing you got to repent before the Lord today. Say, God, forgive me. I have become over familiar with you. I have become like Uzzah was, over familiar with your presence. I have become over familiar with hosting your presence. It's just another service to attend. For Uzzah, it was just a box to be handled. And some of us, I feel like the spirit of the fear of God is really gripping you right now. There is repentance that God's working in our hearts. Don't become over familiar, church. Over familiarity kills the anointing. It stops us from receiving, getting filled by the Lord. It breeds an irreverence. It breeds flippantness of heart and posture. Some of you, you'll really have to repent today. Say, God, forgive me. I've become over familiar. I've become over familiar. When I'm serving, I've become over familiar, God. When I'm playing on the worship team, I've become over familiar, God. It's just another song. It's just another set of chords. Leaders, cell leaders, zone leaders, deacons, pastors, let's not become over familiar with God in this house. Oh, it's just another roster to serve. Oh, it's just another roster to be here in this service. It cannot be another service. Church, I'm so done. I'm so done. Yesterday, I was on my knees in my room. On my knees, and I'm weeping. I'm saying, God, I'm done. I'm done. Would you begin to pour out your glory? Begin to pour out your presence in the church in Singapore. I'm done with gimmicks. I'm done with eloquence. I'm done with having the form, the stature, but no power. And yet it's the power of God that's going to bring real change. It's the power of God that's going to release revival in Singapore. And I'm done, church. I really am. I can't get up here to preach another nice, good sermon and we all leave and have a good time, good lunch after a Sunday service. I am contending for revival. I am contending in intercession on my knees with tears and with travail. The glory of God invading this sphere, invading this house, because we need the glory of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And I know He's stirring hearts right now. He's stirring hearts right now. So lift up your hands if that's you. God's stirring your heart right now. There is a cry on the inside of you saying, God, I know there's more. I know there must be more than this. There must be more than this. If that is you, can we all lift our voices, whether it comes out in a cry, whether it comes out in a wail, whether it comes out in singing, whether it comes out in a prayer, however your expressions are before the Lord, let your cries right now ascend to the heavens. Let your cries of hunger, let your cries of desperation arise to heaven, arise to the ears of God. One more time, God. One more time, God. Would you pour out your glory? One more time, God. Would you pour out your spirit? One more time, God. Would you pour out revival? One more time. One more time. One more time. Of glory to be filled. Your houses of glory to be filled. To be filled with your glory. To be filled with your presence. To be filled with your spirit. Oh, one more time, God. One more time, God. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh, fill us, God. Fill us, God. Fill us, God. Fill your house. Fill your house. Oh, Shataya Kasandalamande. There is such a stirring in the spirit. I'm going to release the rest of us. I'm going to dismiss this congregation, this service. But, you know, if you need prayer today and you know, God, I know there's more than this. There's more than this. We're going to open up the altars. I'm going to ask you to come. Just come before the Lord and say, God, fill me. Fill me. He's going to fill us. He's going to fill us till overflow. Some of you, you're so barren. You're so dry. You're so unfruitful. The Lord says, enough. Barrenness is over. Springtime has come. Springtime has come. If you would measure, I would pour. If you would measure, I would pour.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.